If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I'm thrilled to welcome back to the podcast Matt Barnes, a former NBA player turned entrepreneur, media personality, and activist. This is Matt's second time joining us, and we have so much to dive into. Not only do we discuss his candid thoughts on politics, but Matt also shares a big revelation, his endorsement of a candidate for the upcoming election. We also talk about the ever-evolving role of athletes in social activism and get an inside look at his life, from his reality show ventures to celebrating 5 incredible years of All the Smoke, one of the most successful podcasts out there. He even sheds light on who he hopes to have on his podcast in this upcoming year, and you are going to be floored with who he announces. And of course, we couldn't forget the most exciting news. Matt has a baby on the way. In less than a week, he actually gives us a little bit of insight into the birth plan for this and shares the name of the baby. Get ready for a deep, insightful, and unfiltered conversation with my friend Matt Barnes. Hey everyone, Rachel Yucatel here from the Misunderstood podcast. Let's get real. How many of us feel consistently exhausted, struggling to focus with a to-do list that never ends? Trust me, I've been there. Recently, I've discovered something that's been a total game changer, Holistic Goddesses Bison Trifecta. It's a supplement made from freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney, all packed into convenient capsules. Since I started taking Bison Trifecta, my energy levels have soared and my mental clarity has never been better. It's been a lifesaver, especially as I navigate perimenopause and menopause. The best part, it's all natural with clean ingredients and no fillers. If you're looking for a boost, I highly recommend trying Bison Trifecta. And right now you can get 15% off with the code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. So go to holisticgoddess.com and learn more. HOLISTICGODDESS.com and use the code UNDERSTOOD. You won't regret it. Matt, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood again for a second time. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me and thank you for adjusting your schedule to mine. I'm a little hectic over here. I got a baby due any day and son that just had surgery. So it's a little crazy over here. So thank you for making time for me.
Oh my God, of course. I mean, I have been reading everything in the news about your son being in a car accident and then having appendicitis. Is that correct?
My son was actually doing some conditioning for his high school basketball team and was running outside of the school. And he said he was running with his head down and all of a sudden he got hit by a car. So luckily I laughed because it wasn't too serious. He just kind of had a bruised side and hip. And then 2 days later, terrible stomach ache. They do this big game at LA Live now for called the Mamba Invitational. So my twins were playing in it, and Isaiah had a horrible stomach ache, but didn't tell anybody because he wanted to be able to play in the game. So he plays in the three games, still has a terrible stomach ache, still doesn't tell us. So he said he doesn't sleep the whole night. And then the next morning, they wake up around 10 or 11, and my other twin says, like, Dad, Isaiah can't get out of bed. I'm like, well, what's going on? So I go over and talk to him. He's like, I've had a stomach ache since yesterday. I was like, well, how come you didn't tell me? He's like, because I wanted to play and he wouldn't have let me play. So we take a look at him. He calls his mom. His mom looks at him and sees that his right side is a little swollen. So I take him to the emergency room, and sure enough, he has the appendicitis. So we I rushed him to UCLA and he had a successful surgery. So he's in day three of recovering.
Wow. So he's home.
He's home. Yes, he is home.
Amazing. Okay. Well, yeah. That's all good news. Incidentally, did the appendix have anything to do with him getting hit by the car?
No, the doctor said there's no rhyme or reason for appendix or anything like that. You can't do anything to prevent it and you can't do anything to cause it. So he said the accident didn't have anything to do with it. It was just one of those things that just happened to him. So luckily we were able to catch it before. They said it was the biggest appendix he's ever seen that hadn't exploded. So
wow. All right. Well, we wish him a good recovery. That's great that is over with. I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. But anyways, here we are now. I'm happy to see you. So you've had a lot going on since I've seen you last. I saw you about a year and a half ago. The one thing I want to bring up is when you were on the show, you did mention that by the time you were 50, you would love to get into the political arena, potentially becoming mayor. That got picked up everywhere. I'm curious if anything has transpired since we had that conversation. Have you thought more about that in a serious way?
I thought about it. I haven't necessarily acted on it in a making my plea to run for mayor eventually. I've been, you know, doing a lot of, you know, political work. I work with an organization called Project 68. And it's a group that we travel around the country, just encourage people to educate themselves. We educate them and then to encourage them to register and vote. We don't tell them what side to do what. We just encourage information and to arm yourself with knowledge and make sure they are registered to vote. So I haven't necessarily done anything in steps of term of possibly, you know, being mayor of my hometown in 5 or 6 years, but I definitely have still been involved, you know, with this election coming up in November.
So I know you do a lot of mentoring with kids, and we're talking about the election coming up too. What are you seeing with kids that you talk to? Are they eager to vote this time around? Do they not want to get involved? Like, what are you hearing from them?
I think it's mixed, and I think it's due to a lack of educating ourselves, them educating themselves. I feel like we live in a culture of reading the headlines because there is so much information thrown at us daily. And I'm guilty of that sometimes. Sometimes I'll read the headlines and just think I know what happened in that whole article. And then when I go back and read the article, I'm like, oh, this headline was very misleading. Right. I think we live in a culture of people reading headlines, and whoever puts out the most information, whether it be misleading or the truth, is usually what people stick with, you know? So I just, you know, we continue just to encourage the people to do, you know, you spend so much time on your phone, Google, do some research, you know, obviously you can take information from people, but I would fact check as much as possible. So it's kind of split. I'm seeing a lot more people actually step up and be willing to vote in the Black and Brown community and in those target areas, those early 20s to mid 30s that, you know, are interested. And, you know, I wish them the best. You know, I hope it's a good experience. And I always kind of feel like, you know, this whole political realm is huge. And if you're new to it, it's very overwhelming. So I always encourage that, you know, the local and state vote are where you can see some immediate turnaround, you know, in your neighborhoods and your schools, stuff like that. And then as you continue to see some, you know, some traction for your vote, hopefully that'll increase your appetite to want to step up your, you know, your game to the federal level. So again, big election coming up in November, and, you know, just the more people out there to vote, the better.
Do you, like, what are you seeing as the biggest issues that mean something to these kids or to the people that you're talking to?
I really, you know, I obviously the women's rights, you know, although that's left to states now, that was something that was unbelievably disruptive and crazy to think that a bunch of older men put together a situation that I think they can tell women what to do with their bodies. The way they're trying to, you know, hide history and not tell our history. I think there's a lot of different issues and everyone has issues that obviously pertain to them. And that is a part of my message is, you know, this race right now is more about policy, really, you know, whether you want Kamala or you want Trump, you know, look to see where they align with policies that not only affect you, that affect your family and affect your community. And, you know, a vote according to that. You know, again, I'm not up here to tell anyone who to vote for. You know, that's a privilege we've all learned or earned. Yeah. We have the right to vote for whoever. But, you know, look at the policy and see where you lie compared to who you want to vote for lies. And I think that'll tell you a lot.
It is very interesting. It's a crazy time right now in politics. And it is, for better or for worse, in my opinion, a great way for people to start voting for the first time because it's so in your face. It's become kind of pop culture, entertainment news and political news. So whether you're reading the headline or you're watching, you know, the DNC, you know, what just happened last week, or you're watching anything that's going on, you know, Fox News or, you know, anything going on with Trump, there's so much out there to follow and to watch. But you're right. I mean, I think it really should come down to policies, but sometimes that's harder said than done because you get swept up in all the other comments or things that are going on. I'm curious, did you watch what happened last week in the DNC?
Did you watch any of that? I did. I saw day one and day two. I didn't get a chance to see day three. And I liked it. You know what I mean? I liked what, you know, they were talking about. And, you know, I was a big fan of the Obamas and they were able to come out and say their piece. And it's just, again, I think we live in such a crazy time. And I think Trump is thriving on just kind of the chaos because he performs well in chaos. So it's going to be very interesting come November. But I think, you know, if everyone gets out there and votes, I think the right person will win.
Yeah, I did think that a lot that was done last week was really powerful. I personally felt like I was in tears watching how proud Gus was of his father up on that stage. And I thought it was really terrible that a lot of people made fun of him. You know, that really hurt my heart for him because I was in tears watching that moment and Googling him and being like, oh my God, vote for Gus's dad. Yeah. You know, like he's amazing.
The empathy and the sympathy from a certain side is a little crazy. The fact that they attack anything, vulnerability, emotion is very interesting. But again, it tells you a lot. So that's why I think it's so important to, you know, obviously first and foremost, educate yourself and then get out there and vote.
Right. So I just do have to ask you, have you come out and endorsed any candidate in particular then?
I have not yet. I'll be voting for Kamala. But again, I think also it's a lot of policy and to be able to do my part to help people educate themselves and encourage to educate themselves.
Right. Okay. All right. So right now it's your 5-year anniversary of All the Smoke. Did I get that right?
Correct.
That's amazing. Like, how are you guys feeling about that? You guys are going on a tour or something for that, right?
We have tours coming up in New York, I think October 7th, and one in Philadelphia, October 9th. We did one in Chicago in July. 5-year anniversary. Man, never thought, I didn't even know what a podcast was when we started. And the fact that, you know, we've been able to win several awards and actually turn, since the last time we spoke, we were able to turn our podcast into a whole production company.
Yeah.
So now we have about 5 or 6 shows under our slate. We've, you know, we've cracked the NFL. We were in the NFL now. We're into boxing. We're into MMA. We're into politics as well. And, you know, obviously our bread and butter is basketball. So we've been able to, you know, since January 1 of this year, launched this company and we've been taking off. So it's a tremendous blessing. You know, my focus is a little different now, although All the Smoke is obviously, you know, what got us here. You know, my focus now is finding new talent, creating and putting out a positive message and creating positive shows.
So when you say shows, is it podcast only? Or are you going to be doing television stuff?
A little bit of both. Right now we have 6 podcasts under our belt, working on 3 more. We have a show that an actual show that just got greenlit by Amazon. And we're working on 3 really cool documentaries right now. So, you know, I think step by step, we'll continue to graduate and really entrench ourselves in the media and culture and entertainment. So it's been fun.
And I'm curious, if people are coming onto your network, so to speak, are you helping produce it? Are you, like, how involved are you going to be?
We're a little bit of everything. We're kind of a la carte. So we can help. We can do everything from A to Z for you, or you can pick and choose what you need, because we provide all different services and we can do that. So we have all levels, from creating scripts from scratch to actually just distributing shows to helping people put together a social plan for their show. So we offer all different levels of service. And, you know, those 6 shows all have a little bit of different push to them through our company.
Amazing. Okay. So also, you just were at a festival, the Holly Shorts Festival. Is that?
Yes. Correct? Yeah.
And you guys won best short, best documentary. What was it that you won?
Best sports documentary. Yes. For Black Mark. So a friend of ours, Nathan Elliott, you know, we, about 2.5-3 years ago, we started, you know, we were just talking as we continue to kind of build our friendship and kind of where we came from and things that, you know, kind of historical in our upbringing. And I talked about an incident in high school where my sister was being verbally harassed and called racial slurs and got spit on. And, you know, she was 2 years younger than me in high school. So I did what any big brother would do. I took care of the bully, ended up getting suspended. And while I was suspended, our high school was vandalized by the KKK, burned down a bathroom and swastikas everywhere and mannequins everywhere. And die and all this must say was just insane. NAACP came out and supported us, had a green light put on my head. So I ended up having to move. And this is all within like 2 or 3 months of me coming down to LA to go to UCLA. So I was just on the verge of graduating. So I told him that story, obviously in much more detail, and we made a short out of it. So him and his buddy Jared got together and put this piece of work together. And again, it's been a long time coming. We started it maybe again 2.5-3 years ago and kind of been tinkering with it. And Nate got the idea to start throwing it in film festivals. And in the first festival we got thrown into, we won. So really excited about that.
It's really interesting because he showed it to me probably 2 years ago or a year or so ago. It was phenomenal. And I was, you know, shocked that somebody wasn't picking it up immediately for who knows what, but for something, because it's powerful. It's amazing. It has you in tears, but also, like, it gives you an understanding of who you are, which is why I had you. By the way, you were my very first guest I had.
Oh, really? Podcast. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because I feel like you are the quintessential person who was misunderstood, right? People say, oh, he's a hothead. Oh, he's this, oh, he's that. When I heard that story, it was very clear to me that you have a loyalty for family, for people that you believe in, for the underdog, for anyone that screws with you, or for you seeing anyone that gets screwed with. So I don't see you as a hothead. I just see you as someone that's fiercely loyal, and you will fight for the person that needs to be fought for if they can't fight for themselves. And even if they can't, you don't mind jumping in. But so that to me was very evident in Black Mark. And I'm so happy it found a home right now and found a festival that gave it some recognition. But remember when starting a business meant finding a physical location and hoping for foot traffic? Those days are long gone thanks to Shopify. Whether you're launching your first online store, opening a brick and mortar shop, or celebrating that did we just hit a million orders moment, Shopify is with you every step of the way. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell everywhere, online, in person, and even on social media. Their all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system make it easy to manage your business wherever you are. What I love most, Shopify Magic, their AI-powered tool helps you sell more with less effort, and their checkout converts up to 36% better than other platforms. No wonder Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Ready to grow your business? Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/understood. Make sure you use the code for our promo. That's shopify.com/understood. Today's episode is brought to you by LolaVie. Yes, the award-winning hair care line founded by none other than the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. Now, if you're like me, your hair goes through a lot. Coloring, heat styling, and let's not forget the relentless summer sun and humidity. I used to think I had to choose between products that worked and those that were actually good for my hair. But Jen wasn't having that, so she teamed up with top chemists to create something truly special. Let me tell you about LolaVie's B Pro 3 Bond technology. It's derived from chia seeds that work to repair and protect your hair at the cuticle where damage starts. I've been using their intensive repair treatment and it's been an absolute game changer, especially after spending so much time outdoors this summer. Just one treatment a week and my hair feels stronger and healthier from the inside out. Now, here's the best part. Because you're an awesome listener, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use the code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. Seriously, if you're going to take hair care advice, why not take it from the woman who gave us the Rachel, right? And don't forget to use the code Rachel at checkout for 15% off your order. That's LolaVie.com with promo code Rachel, spelled R-A-C-H-E-L. And hey, after you buy, make sure to tell them we sent you. Your hair will thank you. I'm curious, why now? Why do you think it took as long as 2.5 years to even get seen?
You know, it's hard to argue, you know, with God's timing and everything happens for a reason. But I think, you know, to touch on what we started this conversation, the political climate right now and the fact that, you know, there's so many is the vice president Black? Is she white? Is she Asian? Is she Indian? I mean, everyone has an opinion on what they think she is. And to me, none of that matters.
Like, yeah.
None of that matters. I mean, it doesn't care about what color the person is. They have policy and they plan to help. So I don't know. I mean, I just think everything happens in God's timing. And again, I think with my story coming to light now, I think it's a perfect time just because of the political climate. But then also, like you said, I think it's a true depiction of who I am, why I am the way I am, and why I stand on what I stand on, and why I feel like I need to be a voice for the voiceless, and why I need to continue to utilize my platform to either call people out or spread love and help educate. So again, it's perfect timing, although it's 2.5-3 years after we made it. But you know, we're off to a good start now. We're actually in the running for an actual Oscar now. So I'm doing a bunch of stuff to kind of hopefully help bolster our case there. But again, hopefully we can hop in a few more film festivals and get some more awards under our belt. And the goal from Black Mark was obviously, first and foremost, to tell my story, but we know there's a ton of people out there with Black Mark moments that maybe some of your favorite people that you never knew what or why or how or this is the reason why they act the way they do. So our goal, you know, Nate and I's goal was to get this out there and let this be the first episode, but make this a series and cross sports, entertainment and culture with Black Marks.
I agree. I mean, and good luck with the Oscar push. I think that would be phenomenal. You and I have both had Ricky Williams on. He's another one that I feel like is an important story to tell. I saw the, I think it's 30 for 30, which is kind of low, you know, the way they did it was a little bit low end and kind of a long time ago. But I think his story, every time I mention his name, people, incredible, you know, immediately want to hear more about it. And to me, I found it interesting because it was like, you know, they were like, oh, he's the guy that's addicted to pot and a drug addict. And it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Was he the guy that was addicted to something and lost his career because of it? Or was he the guy that was completely enlightened and saw priorities as something completely different? And he may have been really good at a sport, but that's not what made him happy. And who are you to tell him when he needs to leave? So
And I feel like he was just ahead of his time. You know, if he would have came out now or this, it wouldn't have really even been a conversation now, because all professional sports allow cannabis use. And, right, you know, we owe a lot to Ricky Williams for his bravery. And at the end of the day, it cost him his career. And he was a hell of a running back. You know, that was really my first mission. You know, once I retired from the NBA, was to put pressure on the NBA and the NBPA about just educating themselves on the plant. Because I feel like, you know, and Ricky spoke to this and I've spoken to this and other athletes, they'll pump us full of absolutely any kind of opioid or narcotic to get us back on the field, the court, or the diamond, but wanted to punish us or even take our careers for using cannabis. So I'm glad now, although I've been removed from the sport for 7 years now, that guys aren't risking their career to medicate because, again, I feel like there's a piece of that plant that can help everyone from children to our grandparents.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So you are back in TV. You just starred in your own reality series, The Barnes Bunch. You did season one, right?
Yes.
And you guys have been picked up for season two?
So we're actually in conversation about that right now, really from both sides. I did reality TV, I'm almost embarrassed to admit, back in 2010, Basketball Wives. Shaq kind of bullied me into doing Basketball Wives. He told me it would be a way to get our wives off our back. And boy, was it not.
How did that work for you?
Oh, that was nasty. And the crazy part of that show is still going on. So, you know, respect to those women that have kind of made that a career. But it just really kind of showed me the crazy side of reality, but also piqued my interest in, you know, television. And that bar was set pretty low. So I was thinking, you know, as I started doing that, I'm like, maybe this production is something I want to do when I get done playing. And, you know, now look at me. But fast forward to the Barnes Bunch. It wasn't interesting. I was scared because obviously I've been through it once and it was a terrible depiction of Black culture overall. But unfortunately, what I see is drama like that sells and it entertains people. But that definitely wasn't what I wanted with my actual family coming into this situation. So my fiance's friend, Datari Turner, is best friends and business partners with Jamie Foxx. And Datari hit her and Jamie had reached out to me. And the first time I just, you know, respectfully declined because of my traumatic, maybe my PTSD from the first time around. And then like a year later, they hit us up again. And, you know, my girl and I were talking and they really pitched this family driven, blended family, Black family, empowerment, love, and all this kind of stuff. So I'm just like, okay, well, if it's this, okay. So we start filming and it started off that and then it made a left. So I had to put my foot down and, you know, told these people like, hey, you know, we haven't spent a dollar you gave us. You can take this back. You know, you guys are trying to make drama, but this is like my real life family. When you guys cut these cameras off, like our lives don't stop. Although the camera may stop, we don't stop. So we had to really put our foot down and tell them we're not going the direction they tried to steer us. So that took a little bit of time, but luckily we all came back on the same page and were able to finish out season one. So it's really up in the air right now. Again, they're having their conversations. We're having a conversation as a family and with my lawyers to decide, is it something that we really want to do? There were some fun parts, but there were also some parts that were like, see, this is why I knew I didn't want to do it. So we'll sit down at the table, I think, in the next month or so and decide on both parts if we want to move forward. So we did do it. Kids had a blast. And again, there were some fun times, but I also realized that drama sells and I don't want to throw fake drama. I told them like, hey, we've been together nearly 8 years. We'll give you some drama. We're going to argue like every other couple does. And we have kids that do crazy things and we'll give you drama there, but we don't need the fake drama pumped into our life. And that's where I had a problem with it.
Yeah. Did you guys sit down and watch it back together as a family?
So, and that was another issue I had with them. With me kind of being the star role, I was wondering, and I told him, I was like, well, why are you guys putting us up against the NBA playoffs? So our show launched in the middle of the NBA playoffs. And I told him it was a bad idea, but hey, what do I know? The network did what they wanted to do. So actually, my fiance and I would argue because I had to watch playoff games because I probably had to work the next day and report on them. And the show was on. So I probably caught three or four live shows and had to go back and watch a few other ones. So that was another gripe I had as, you know, if you're trying to get my audience, why would you make them choose between a reality show and basketball? And the crazy part is as soon as the playoffs were over in our last two episodes there, those were our two highest episodes. So I did know a little bit of what I was talking about. So again, I just think there's some things that need to be worked out order for us to move forward, but it was a tremendous opportunity and, you know, definitely looking forward to seeing what happens with it.
Yeah. Do you think your kids would want to do it again?
Yeah. The kids loved it. The kids loved it. Didn't want to stop and ask when we're going to start again. So, you know, all six of them and we have another one coming next week.
Yeah. So when next week it's due?
Yeah. Next, the 3rd of September, we're going to be induced. So number 7 will be here on the 4th and,
oh my God. And now remind me, how many are whose?
What? So I have identical twins that are from my first marriage. Mm-hmm. She has a 13-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old son, and a 10-year-old son from her first marriage. Mm-hmm. We have a 5-year-old together. And then we have the little baby, another son coming that'll be ours. So it'll be my fourth son. I guess all I do is make a sons. All I do is make sons. I wanted a girl bad, but I guess it wasn't in the cards. So it'll be six boys and
another boy. Wow.
All boys. Yeah.
Do you have a name picked out that you're allowed to
say? Austin. Austin is the name. So I kind of stay out of the name pick, and I allow them to do that. So I guess the family voted on Austin. So he'll be Austin Barnes.
Beautiful name. Have you been involved in any of the like pre-birthing stuff? Like, do you have to go to classes or this is all?
We haven't, because she's a pro. This is her fifth child. She birthed. So we haven't done any classes, but she's mid-40s. So she's high risk. So we're at doctor's appointments once a week. We actually had one today and one tomorrow. So I am, when I'm in town, at the doctor's appointments and asking my questions and, you know, just making sure I prepare myself, because she's 45. You know what I mean? And although the baby's healthy and moving, there's no telling what can happen come birthday. So right. We're prepared.
At that point, do they want you to do a C-section or they
no,
want you to do?
No, she's going to have a natural birth, but there's just people we have to have on call and standing by if there's excessive bleeding and all this kind of stuff that can happen. Right. Try to have children at an older age. So we have all the boxes checked and, you know, leaving it up to God, but we're really excited. I mean, you know, God willing, this will be our seventh baby come next week and definitely our last, but definitely looking forward to it.
Right. Amazing. Okay. So you're basically going to take off part of September to be able to enjoy this a little bit, right?
I'm going to take about a week to 10 days off. I had to reschedule several things. We have a book coming out through all the smoke that we had to reschedule. We have our live shows that we had to push back. So I am, although my girl tells me, hey, go ahead. I know what that means. That's a setup for an argument down the road. So I know that I cleared about 10 to 14 days after the baby is born to just really be here, get established, help the nanny get established with the new baby and get on a new schedule. You know, obviously my workload is going to pick up because, you know, we have six kids. So we're both dropping kids off in the morning. So she's not going to be able to do drop off. So, you know, we're getting on a new schedule with that. So I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, stepping up my role. Yeah, I'm a very hands-on dad, but it's going to go to a new level come next week. So we'll see what happens.
The kids must be really exciting too.
They are.
Excited.
Definitely are.
I wanted to bring up something that I was really excited for. I know that you were a consultant on the Donald Sterling saga. How did you feel like that came out?
I thought that it told the story of what happened with Donald Sterling and his mistress and his wife. I thought all of the conversation between the players was unfortunately BS. I was a little disappointed. I was a consultant on the project, but when they first brought me on and they gave me the first two scripts, I went crazy, not crazy in a disrespectful way, but just, you know, redlined everything. I'm just like, you know, we don't talk like that. He actually does like him. This is not what happened. And I think they were kind of like, okay, who is this guy? You know, I was a consultant, not a producer. So they just kind of said, hey, you know, there's stuff we have to do for TV to make this go. So I think a lot of the conversations that were had, importantly, the important ones through the players, like when, you know, the situation happened when it first dropped and we're in the room as a team and we're deciding what to do, all that kind of stuff was kind of fabricated, which was a little disappointing to me. Because
meaning they wanted it to seem like the teammates hated him or?
No. I mean, the guys, to be honest with you, we never really thought about him like that. But I think once he said what he said, there were guys that were really hurt and bothered. But, you know, speaking to my black mark, I had seen much worse. I was nearly killed. You know what I mean? So I just thought, hey, this is another crazy owner that isn't the only one that thinks this way, just is the only one that's been caught on tape speaking this way. But I was just talking about the dialogue between us as players and what we should do as a team. Like, I just thought it was really exaggerated and had guys sounded nothing like they sounded. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, the story was told and it was another crazy racially driven situation that I kind of found myself in the middle of. But it was a crazy time, you know, looking back on that, you know, nearly 10 years and some change later. You know, we wish we would have did more. Maybe we should have sat out. But I think in the moment, the unknown was what was bothering us, because we didn't know, okay, do we sit out one game? Do we sit out two games? Are these going to count as losses?
Right.
Keep in mind, at that time, we're playing a young Warrior team. So that Clipper team that beat the Warriors that year, after that is when the Warriors went on a run to you know, their dynasty run. So we felt like we had a team that was, at the time, good enough to win a championship. But there was just, you know, you have to be so laser focused once the playoffs come around. And unfortunately, the guy that owned the team and wanted us to win brought the biggest distraction you can ever bring. So it was a mess. Luckily, we made it through the first round. And then we personally felt like the way the refs were calling calls and plays came the second round, that the NBA wanted this whole story to get out of here. So they know the way for the story to die down is to get the team that has the owner that's involved out of the way. So we kind of felt like we got the short end of the stick come second round against OKC. But, you know, looking back on it, it was, you know, a part of NBA history. And, you know, we did what we thought was best at the time.
Do you have a relationship with Donald Sterling anymore?
I don't. But to be honest with you, I never had a bad one. You know what I mean? I played for the Clippers twice, a combined five years. And it was always respectful exchanges between he and I, and actually, you know, had more of kind of a friendship, if you would call it that, with Mrs. Sterling. She was very sweet and polite, and unfortunately done pretty wrong on a public basis. So when that did happen, I did feel bad for her, because she was someone who was a huge fan, very respectful, always very nice to all the players. But Sterling did have just a delusion of, I could see the way he thought the world looked at him. The one thing I will say about that show is I thought they cast it very well for Mr. Sterling, his wife, Doc. Lawrence Fishburne played Doc, and then the girl that played his mistress. I thought those four castings right there, they did really well. And I think that chemistry and those conversations, those were great.
Yeah. I will tell you, my friend Allison was one of the main casting directors on it. And she
Tell
me ahead of time. Well, first of all, she wanted me to get V. Stiviano, the mistress, for people that don't know who we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
She wanted me to get a hold of her because they wanted to be able to talk to her. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I stalked her for about a year and she called me.
Did she?
And I want to tell you what she said. So, but she says that Donald Sterling's very sick. She says she still speaks to him. She says that he still pays for her life. All very interesting. Gasp. Allison was telling me how she sat at a table reading that you were there for. And she was, right? Were you ever at a table reading?
I did do a table reading, but I didn't know she was in there. I thought it was the girl that was playing her.
Well, no, not V. Stiviano, my friend Allison, who cast the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So she was very proud of her casting, obviously, mm-hmm. but she told me how you were there and how exciting mm-hmm. it was that you were there. And she was so excited for the project. So
yeah, I think, you know, obviously being in the space now, there were stuff they had to fill in and pull from different seasons to make the story go. But I thought, obviously, the main characters, which were the owners and the mistress and Doc, I thought they did a great job with that story. I just thought the stuff between the players obviously was just to get us to the main part.
Right. V gave me a crazy story on the phone, and now I'm trying to remember what it was, but she said that when she finally comes out and speaks, I don't know if anyone wants to hear from her anymore, but that people will be shocked at what the real story is. And I think she was trying to insinuate that that Mr. Sterling was in on it the whole time, like when she ended up giving the tape over and the wife was in on it. And this, she's like, well, how do you think they got such a big sale of the team and all this crazy stuff? So I don't know. It'd be interesting that if she ever does come out and make a statement, because she seems to think that she is a bombshell for everyone to hear. And this whole thing was fabricated is what she says.
That'd be interesting. I would be interested to hear that again, because, you know, it was a part of my life. So I'd be interested to hear it. So I'm not mad at anybody, man, to do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you a question, because you are at the epicenter of hip hop culture. You have a lot of people on your show. You're immersed in it. Do you have some thoughts that you could share on the whole Puffy thing?
Oh, man, just unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Without knowing, again, we hear a ton of stuff, and unless you were there, you don't know what's lies and what's the truth.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of stuff from Kim Porter, was a close friend of mine. So I heard, you know, some stuff and around, swirling around and with all that stuff. But
do you believe that she had a memoir that was unpublished? That, have you heard about this? That people are coming out saying that they have excerpts from it, and it really puts him in a bad light and a number of other celebrities?
I do believe that she was working on something. I do believe that. But again, to the extreme or what detail, I don't know that. But, yeah. You know, what I do know is, unfortunately, in this situation, you know, now Kim's gone and, you know, Pop is in the midst of this legal trouble. There's kids. There's, you know, there's a handful of kids and the twin daughters, Jesse and Delilah, I think, are juniors or seniors now. So it's just, you know, I hope that people continue to have empathy and sympathy for the kids in this situation. And yeah. I hope they are protected by family. And, you know, we'll have to see. You know, that was a crazy time, the 90s. I was, you know, a teenager at that time. But, you know, that
did
was.
Did you ever go to a white party?
I never went to a puppy party. No, never went to a puppy party or a Sterling party. Luckily, maybe I was just at home smoking weed, so I was staying out the way. But
you were with Ricky Williams smoking.
Yeah, right. Just sitting back. You know, but again, it's unfortunate. You know, you never want to downplay victims, but you also never really know the truth until it's out there. So, you know, I was a huge fan of Puffy growing up and what he brought to the industry in the 90s, you know, R&B music and the rap game and just that whole, I mean, my life soundtrack is 90s R&B and hip hop. So, you know, just praying for, you know, the healing of everybody involved. And if there was bad things done, that people have to answer for that.
Right. You were mentioning before about your sons playing basketball. Do you have any hopes of future coaching in college, in, you know, NBA?
As of now, no, because coaching, what people don't understand is coaching is harder than playing, because coaching, you never get to turn it off. You know, as players, we go to work, we go to practice, we go train, and we can chill. That coaching never stops. And, you know, with my family growing by the day, I actually had a few opportunities when I retired. To join a couple staffs, but, you know, I respectfully declined just because I wanted to step away from that and be more present as a father. So, I have no regrets on that. The twins are 15 now, so they're sophomores in high school. I coach them in the summertime still and obviously would love to find a way to continue to coach them. So I won't say never. But just currently right now, no. Although my 5-year-old just told me the other day he's ready for me to start coaching him now. So I may get started all over again. So I like coaching in the summertime, and I like coaching this AAU rec stuff because you can turn that off. But as far as once you get to college and the NBA, you never get to turn it off. And it's a full-time commitment. It's a lot of time away from the family. And that's just something I'm not willing to sacrifice at this point in my life.
Yeah. Are all your sons into basketball, or are they into?
They all. They actually are football, basketball, and baseball. The twins have stuck with just basketball now, and that's what they're going with. But, you know, my stepkids play football, basketball, baseball, and my little man plays football, basketball, baseball. So I was really one of those fathers, though, that never pushed, and I'll use the twins as an example because I've been in their lives all the time. I never pushed them on sports. And, you know, being in sports and now being around it, I see that parents try to vicariously live through their kids and make it a job too early. And, you know, I had parents when I started coaching the boys at 8 years old, and some my kids training 6 days a week. And I'm like, why? Like, does he get to be a kid? Does he get to have fun? I feel like sometimes parents force sports on kids. And I think that's the last thing you want to do because they're going to burn them out. So I waited until the twins fell in love with the game. And it took a little longer than I thought, to be honest with you. At about 12 and a half, 13, they're 15 now. They're like, Dad, we're ready to start training. Because before we'd mess around in the backyard and get some shots up, but they never trained. But they started seeing kids that they were better than get better than them because they started training and took the game seriously. So I think for about 2.5 years now, the twins have, you know, devoted the time and energy and passion into the game, and they love the game. And it's been a beautiful thing because I've seen them just gradually get better year after year, week after week, month after month. So I love it.
Amazing. I just want to quickly talk about the other projects you have on, have going on. Last time you were here, you were talking about your cannabis company. Are you still working on that?
Yes, still Seven Leaves, you know, still supplying quality cannabis all over California. Cannabis space has changed drastically in the last 5 years. Everyone thought it was going to be a gold mine, but it kind of plateaued out and got saturated because I think the special thing about cannabis used to be you couldn't get great cannabis everywhere. But now you can. Yeah. The prices have gone down, and it's just a kind of a crazy market. So now the new rush and what I'm studying up on and have some opportunities to jump in are the mushroom game. The mushrooms are really starting to pick up. And, you know, I've been learning a little bit about that, the psilocybin space. So we'll see if I actually jump into that or just, you know, utilize that as another form of medicine.
Yeah, you know, I had somebody on, it was one of my best episodes, actually, a guy that started a, he has a company in New York City where people can go in and do a 6 sessions or whatever, and they are taken on a journey for, you know, an hour with ketamine and with the mushroom, the psilocybin stuff. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then obviously there was, you know, everyone was kind of like taken aback with this whole thing with Matthew Perry. Do you have any thoughts on people that abuse it versus people that really can use it for a benefit?
I think everything has to be used responsibly, whether that's alcohol or cannabis, mushrooms, crazier drugs. And again, to each his own, everything has to be used responsibly. You know what I mean? So I can't educatedly speak on the plant or on the mushrooms to say what they can and can't do to you. But again, I just lean on everything has to be used responsibly. You know, I'm someone who still microdoses and follows the instructions of the people who are kind of giving it to me. I don't jump out there on the edge, but then again, I have some friends that go crazy and jump out there in the deep end with the mushroom. So again, to each his own. I've actually even stopped using cannabis as much as I have. I could just, maybe because I'm older and I've tried so many things, I just kind of enjoying peace naturally now. So, but again, I don't judge, but I definitely do that. This is a huge growing space, the mushroom space is.
Right. Okay, you have a coffee table book. Is that out already?
So no, we partnered with Simon & Schuster. I think it actually drops next month, if I'm not mistaken, either October or November. We partnered All the Smoke, the first ever podcast coffee table book. So we're really excited about that. I'll have to send you a copy.
Yeah, what does that mean? What's in it?
Just a lot of our greatest episodes and the people we've talked with and talked about.
So fun.
A ton of just different great stories behind the scenes stuff that may have not have aired. So just a really kind of in-depth look at our journey to where we are currently and some of the best guests we've had.
What are some of the best guests that you've had?
Oh man, Kobe obviously is up there because we did his last interview. Mm-hmm. Was incredible. We did Will Smith's first interview after the slap.
I remember that.
We did Jada's first interview.
Wait, with Will Smith, didn't they make you kind of take some of that out?
So Will told us what he did immediately after the smack, and he went on a self. What was the word he used? He wanted to find the self, so he traveled the world,
journey or something.
Bunch of different language. He learned a bunch of different religions and traveled the world, and he had a really cool story about a Buddhist. I don't want to misspeak, but it was something that he learned where he was with this Buddhist for a handful of days and he wouldn't talk to him for the first 3 or 4 days. And finally he did. And it was really just kind of a self-enlightenment. And it was such an, like, he cried during it. He smiled during it. He laughed during it. And this was right when they were about to put out, was that Emancipation? Is that the movie he did with Apple? And Apple kind of cut all that juiciness out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Disappointing, because he really opened up, and after his team told us, he's like, we've never seen Will open up like that to anybody. Thank you guys, you made him feel very comfortable and blah 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 blah. So that was a special experience. It was almost, you know, you had to be there to get the full experience. But you know, Will was one of them. Steph, KD, you know, we've had Jamie Foxx. We've had, what I like is we've been able to obviously start in the sports realm, but then we've been able to cross over into entertainment and hip hop and in the music space. So a ton of interviews, but yeah, definitely be looking out. We'll have more information soon about where you can get it. But very proud to have a coffee table book and partner with such a huge book company like Simon & Schuster.
Do you have somebody in the future that's on your bucket list that you absolutely are dying to get?
I would love to get Obama. Oddly enough, I'd love to sit down with Trump. You know, I like to speak to people that I don't understand or maybe have the same point of views to have a conversation, because I think so often if we don't know something, we judge it. And we don't ever necessarily get the explanation behind it. So Obama, Trump, LeBron, Dr. Dre, and Michael Jordan are probably my top 5 people I'd want to get.
Amazing. I think those are great options for you. And then lastly, I know you have a tequila company. Yeah.
Mezcal. So the family, same family. We launched a Mezcal called Anillos. Launched that. Doing well. Really excited. Actually heading out to Mexico to the city where we got the agave from, and kind of learned the journey and the story of the people who made it, and kind of just the story of how Mezcal came about. So yes, we ventured off into the alcohol space now. So that's going well. And You know, I couldn't, you know, Rachel, when you think about all the smoke and, you know, our 5-year anniversary, I can never imagine it would have done what it's done so far. It's opened up so many doors. You know, I say I had the best job in the world for 15 years, but, you know, post-career, I get paid basketball money now to talk and have, you know, great conversations where I'm a fan of these people and I'm getting a chance to learn more. So this whole journey has been another tremendous blessing, and I'm very thankful for the opportunities.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you have so much going on, especially in the next week, but also in the next upcoming year. I'm really excited for you for all the things. You'll have to come back in a year from now to let me know how it all pans out. But I wish you the best. I think you're awesome. And I'm a fan. So thank you.
Thank you. Continued success for you guys as well. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast.gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.